Hello and welcome to St Andrew's this morning. You might be watching at home and we hope you'll enjoy this if you are watching this video, but for those of us who are here, welcome. Yeah, there's a number of other notices just before we start properly. So the first one Dave asked me to say is that deeper, and it will be a deeper service next Sunday evening, will be at All Saints. It will be at 6, as the 6 would be down here, trying not to confuse you too much. So there'll be deeper at All Saints next week, and it's going to be a place where we're going to think about being blessed to be a blessing, and we're going to include commissioning people who are hosting Ukrainian refugees at that. So, please come to that. I've also been asked by Val to mention that there is a list to sign up outside if you would like to do who's coming to dinner. So you'd like to sign up either to be a guest or a host for having people to dinner or going to dinner with people. That's on the 15th of May. The other important thing to mention to you is these envelopes that came out a few weeks ago. This is the one ready to go back to Andy about Kingdom Giving for this month. I'm mentioning this because next Sunday is the last day to get that back to Andy. So if you've still got one of these on the side and you're praying about it, can we encourage you to carry on praying about it and do something about it this week? Okay, thank you. So before we start worshipping, just to give us a place for calm, I just would like to read the beginning of Psalm 131. Lord, my heart is not proud, my eyes are not haughty. I don't concern myself with matters too great or too awesome for me to grasp. Instead, I have calmed and quieted myself.
Should we stand?
Thank you.
Sunday? What did we celebrate last Sunday? Oh, it's been wiped from your minds totally. Oh, we've got a hand up. Yes, Skye, what did we celebrate? Jesus being risen. So what do we call that day? Easter. Has everybody forgotten all those Easter eggs they ate? Golly. I knew people had short memories these days, but gosh. Okay, so we celebrated the Easter story last week. So this week we're going to carry the story on, and we've got a video to watch. So I hope you're watching so that you know what's going on this week in our service. Hopefully this will work.
Stories of the Bible. Jesus appears to Thomas. This is Jesus.
Hey-o!
Who is the Son of God and the Savior of the world. While Jesus was on earth, he taught everyone about God's love and healed people from their sickness. He did many miracles like calming storms. And even raised people from the dead.
Wahoo!
But some people did not like what Jesus was doing. And they put him to death. He died on a cross and was buried in a tomb. For 3 days, Jesus' body laid in that tomb, and it seemed that there was no hope. But very early on Sunday morning, the woman who cared for Jesus went to go visit his body, found that his tomb was empty, and that he was no longer there. For he was risen. He was alive.
Woohoo!
What? Heyo!
Rah!
Jesus appeared to his disciples to show them that he was alive. One of the 12 disciples, Thomas, was not with the others when Jesus came.
Hey, Thomas!
Later, the disciples told Thomas, "We have seen the Lord." But Thomas said, "I won't believe it unless I see the nail wounds in his hands. Put my fingers into them and place my hand into the wound in his side." Eight days later, the disciples were together again, and this time Thomas was with them. The doors were locked, but suddenly, as before, Jesus was standing among them.
"Oh, hey guys."
"Peace be with you," he said. Then Jesus said to Thomas, "Put your finger here and look at my hands. Put your hand into the wound in my side. Don't be faithless any longer. Believe." Thomas said, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "You believe because you have seen me. Blessed are those who believe without seeing me."
Okay, so we're moving on to after Jesus' death and what's going to happen next. Okay, so at the end of that, Jesus says, "You believe because you've seen me, but others will have greater faith because they won't see me." So I thought we might have a look at how some things appear to us and whether we're really, really good at judging what things are. So we're going to start with a warm-up just so you get the idea. Has anybody got any idea what that might be? Yes? A paperclip. Well done. Now, we've got a few more of these, okay? Oh, we've got somebody very observant here. Has anybody else got an idea? Anybody? Yes, at the back? A basket. Shall we see? Yeah, you're right. It's a basket. Anybody got any idea on that one? Yes. What do you think? A paintbrush. Should we check if you're right? Yeah, you were right. Well done. Oh, what about that one? Oh, yes. Pencils. Yeah. Been raiding my art cupboard, haven't I? What about that one? Anybody got any idea on that one? What do you think? A plant, Do we see? Yeah, well done, well done. Ooh, what do you think?
Marbles.
Yeah, well done. What do you think? A big toaster. Well, that would be nice, wouldn't it? Yeah. We get lots of toast out of that one. Well done. Anybody got any other ideas? I'm afraid it isn't, but you might create that one for us. Yes. What? The top of a radiator. Let's see. Yeah, well done. I do like the idea of a big toaster rather better, though, I have to say. Oh. Yes? Pardon?
A wheel.
It is a bit like a wheel, isn't it? Yes? Shall I show you? You're very close, and the wheel's very good as well, because it's a dial on the washing machine. Well done. What about that one? Yes, at the back. No. Anybody got any other ideas? Yes? A toilet roll on its holder, shall we see? Yeah, well done. At the back? A light bulb. Yeah, one of the... Yep, you're right. Yes. Candles, do you think? Can somebody at the back tell me, is that the last one? No. I've lost count. Oh. Yes. A bug house. Yes. Okay. So, all of those things we're used to seeing in our everyday life, but somehow when we see them from a different angle, they look rather different, don't they? So I think we might need to hold on to that thought, the adults as well as the children, as we go through the rest of the service. But now it's time for the young people and the children to go to their groups. So I'd really like to say a prayer for them as they go. Is Riley very excited about that? Right, so can we say a prayer for the children? Lord, we thank you for the joy and blessing our young people and children bring to our church family. We pray that they would be nurtured and have fun and fellowship as they go into their groups to learn more of you and your love for them. Amen. Okay, should we give them a few little time to go out? As part of our sort of 3 minutes in the service every so often phase that we do, I'd like to introduce Angela, who is doing a really brilliant mission in our outreachy thing in our church for other people. And so she's going to talk to us for about 3 minutes about a sunflower. No, about the bereavement cafe. So shall I just leave you to it?
Yes, that'd be fine. Thank you. Okay. Right, you might have spotted this sunflower down in the corridor. It's been down there some time now. But if you're new, you might not actually know what it's all about. It's actually the logo or symbol for our group called Side by Side, which is the church's bereavement support group. We've been meeting since May 2019. Albeit with a break of, I think, about 14 months because of COVID. Initially, our meetings were every other Monday down in one of the rooms down the corridor. The break that we had because of COVID was quite telling, really. For me personally, we lost 3 quite close family members, and talking about how we were grieving those people because we couldn't often see them was difficult. And also hearing stories from other people about how they hadn't been able to visit sick people in hospital who'd then died, couldn't go to funerals and things like that. So the work that we were doing side by side suddenly took on a completely new dimension, a new importance. We do now meet again. We're up at the Railway Inn every Monday morning from 11 o'clock. I won't talk about why we're there. If you want to talk to me about that afterwards, you can. There are some really good reasons, but it might seem a bit strange to be meeting in a pub instead of the church. From very small beginnings, I think when we first met down in the corridor, we had three at our first session, and it did take some time to build. And then we had the break of 14 months, and it was really like starting all over again once we were up at the railway. But we now have 22 names on our register, if you like, and an average of 8 to 12 attend every Monday. What do we do? Well, what we don't do is we don't have speakers and we don't have organised activities. Each week we have at least three team members, but usually more, usually five, who come along and offer a listening ear and general support to anybody who attends. And as the group has grown, friendships have developed between the attendees, and they've become quite adept at supporting each other and offering advice on practical and emotional matters. Last year, as part of what we did, we encouraged people to attend the excellent bereavement courses that Peter Myers led. And we also encouraged people to come to the quiet Christmas service and the Thanksgiving service. I've only got 3 minutes, so I won't say very much more. We're about to have a review meeting where we analyse what we could do better. So could you all, as a church, please be praying for us for that meeting, for wisdom, especially in knowing how to help people who seem to be stuck in a really deep rut of grief, and for ways to reach out to people that aren't able to come to our meetings. And I also am quite keen to develop a prayer ministry. At the moment, we pray for our attendees. We don't pray very much with them. So I'd like to develop that a bit more.
Is it all right if we pray for the group with you?
Of course.
And we'll pray about that review meeting. So if we'd like to just pray. Lord, we thank you for the amazing work that the Side by Side Cafe has been doing and the people whose needs it's been meeting. And we really pray a blessing on it, and we pray a blessing on Angela and the team who are regularly there at the pub to meet people. And we really pray for that review, and that for those people who are really stuck in a deep place after they've lost somebody. And we just thank you for their missional hearts and all the work they're doing. Amen. Thank you. We're going to sing a couple of songs now before Judith preaches to us. So, is the band ready? Right.
Yes. In the light of that video and the reading of Thomas, I think our first song is really very telling. It's I believe in God the Father. I believe in Christ the Son. So let's declare our faith and stand.
Jesus. bring before you the needs of the world. They are many and they are challenging.
And it can be overwhelming. As we hear and see the situations which bring such destruction and cruelty in our world. Show us how we can practically bring some of your love to the suffering. We're thinking of Ukraine, obviously, and there will be refugees from there coming here soon. And we pray for the processing system to be sorted out. And we pray for leaders of nations with integrity and understanding, because everyone is affected by this. We particularly pray for our mission partner, Terry English, in the Czech Republic, and we thank you for their hospitality and school for the youngsters from that situation. Give them strength and wisdom and love in your name. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We thank you for the church worldwide, especially in countries where there is already persecution. And we pray for those who lead in your name. Refresh and renew all church leaders and those who teach. And nearer to home, we pray for schools and teachers as they are approaching the exam season again. Lord, may that all go ahead, and may the students have peace about it. At the back of the church, there is a prayer diary, and it features a new initiative in Dudley for secondary school pupils who find school difficult, and it sounds like the bridge development here, run by Neil and Sue Hornby, which has been so valued. And it also contains two people that we know who are going for ordination in July. So if you're new to the area and you would find looking at this and to see what is actually going on at work in this area, and you will be very encouraged. So Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. Lord, we pray again for the bereavement cafe, and we just know that spending time with people who have experienced the loss of someone near to them, that it is very helpful. So we pray for your comfort and friendship at this valuable get-together place. Lord, be with all who take part and all who come for refreshment and renewal. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We do pray for businesses and industries, companies, agricultural groups, many who are adjusting to the recent rising costs, a new way of working, and the resulting pressure on the staff, the managers, their families, everyone that's involved. Lord, it's such a difficult thing to cope with when you think you've got it sorted and then suddenly it's all thrown up in the air. Lord, we just pray for all these people who are having to make adjustments and think through new ways. Lord, in your mercy, hear our prayer. We pray for all who are affected by pressure on hospitals, those who are in pain, those awaiting consultation. And we all know someone. Perhaps just bring them to the Lord at this moment, in the quiet of your heart. We pray too for the real deal on Wednesday evening. And thank you, Lord, that you can turn lives around and bring hope. So we pray for the speaker and we pray for guests who will come. May that be a real encouragement and a move forward in lives in need. And we pray for the lonely, the homeless, the broken relationships, and the unloved. And I found a prayer by Dick Shepherd, a clergyman who's died quite a few years ago, but I thought it just spoke to us in our situation here. Grant us grace, O Father, not to pass by suffering and enjoy without eyes to see. Give us understanding and sympathy, and guard us from selfishness, that we may enter into the joys and sufferings of others. Use us to gladden and strengthen those who are weak and suffering, that by our lives we may help others believe and serve you, and shed forth your light, which is the light of life. Lord, in your mercy, we bring all these prayers to you, our Lord and Saviour, Jesus Christ. Amen.
The reading is taken from John chapter 20, verses 19 to 31. On the evening of that first day of the week, when the disciples were together, with the doors locked for fear of the Jewish leaders, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." After he said this, he showed them his hands and side. The disciples were overjoyed when they saw the Lord. Again, Jesus said, "Peace be with you. As the Father has sent me, I am sending you." And with that, he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit. If you forgive anyone's sins, their sins are forgiven. If you do not forgive them, they are not forgiven." Now Thomas, also known as Didymus, one of the 12, was not with the disciples when Jesus came. So the other disciples told him, "We have seen the Lord." But he said to them, "Unless I see the nail marks in his hands and put my finger where the nails were and put my hand into his side, I will not believe." A week later, his disciples were in the house again, and Thomas was with them. Though the doors were locked, Jesus came and stood among them and said, "Peace be with you." Then he said to Thomas, "Put your finger here. See my hands. Reach out your hand and put it into my side. Stop doubting and believe." Thomas said to him, "My Lord and my God." Then Jesus told him, "Because you have seen me, you have believed. Blessed are those who have not seen and yet have believed." Jesus performed many other signs in the presence of his disciples, which are not recorded in this book. But these are written that you may believe that Jesus is the Messiah, the Son of God, and that by believing you may have life in his name. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I've been tending to go to the 6 o'clock service, so if I don't know you, hello. And my name's Judith Keane. I'm one of the lay readers. And it's a real pleasure, and it's always such a privilege to look at God's word together.
I wonder, can you remember a particularly long and busy day that you have experienced? I think for me, I remember times when we have gone on holiday, perhaps when my children were younger, and we'd have to start at the crack of dawn, get the kids up in the middle of the night to drive to the ferry or to the airport. And there'd be that mixture of expectation and anxiety. Would everything be on time? Had we remembered the tickets in the days before everything, you know, before everything was on a phone? Will we have a safe journey? Will the weather be kind? When I was a little girl going on holiday, I remember my parents used to be very concerned about had they remembered to lock the house up properly and switch the gas off. I remember one year my father was so concerned that the house might get broken into while we were away that he hid the most important thing to him, which for some reason was his bottle of gin. I guess it was quite a lot of money for him then. And there was, and he could never remember actually retrieving the bottle from its hiding place when we got back. And there was this family myth ever afterwards that somewhere in the loft was a bottle of gin. And when we cleared the house out many years later after my parents had died, we were waiting to see if we'd find it. Sadly, we didn't. Our reading starts on the evening of that first day. And I thought, which day was that? And it was Easter Sunday. And it occurred to me what an awful lot had happened on that day. Also, a lot of anxiety. Perhaps a lot of expectation. But an awful lot more significant than going on holiday and no gin involved. So, if we go back to the beginning of chapter 20... It had all started before daybreak. We are told that while it was still dark, Mary Magdalene went to the tomb while it was still dark. And I'm guessing that she would not have slept much that night, if at all. And finding it was empty, she went to find the disciples. Two of them, we're told, went to the tomb with her. They saw the folded grave clothes and they believed. We're not told exactly what they believed. And then, slightly oddly, they seem to have just gone back to the city. And they left Mary on her own and she became the first person to meet the risen Jesus. And I wonder if those disciples had stayed with her. Would they have met him then as well? We don't know. But then it's not over yet. Mary was then told by Jesus to go and tell the disciples that he'd risen. So she does that, back to the city and tells them. And there's absolutely no record they did anything about it in response to her news. And so we get to verse 19, where we started our evening and we're told, it's evening now, after that busy day, the disciples were together, although not Thomas or Judas, we assume. I wonder how they were feeling. I think we can assume that they were tired. I think they would have been confused about what was happening. What had Mary said? You know, the empty tomb, what was going on? Were they hoping that it was true? Were they trying not to hope in case it wasn't? Were they wondering what was next? What we are told is that they were scared. They were scared of the authorities who just a couple of days earlier had put Jesus to death. But maybe too, they were scared of meeting Jesus if he really had risen. After all, they had abandoned him. Peter had denied him. And maybe they might reason, if he'd appeared to Mary, it just shows that he didn't really want anything to do with them. So a time of anxiety as well as expectation. But then Jesus was there, speaking words of peace and breathing the Spirit on them. And then in their turn, they tell Thomas that they have indeed met Jesus. You know, Thomas's reaction was blunt, wasn't it? And actually, it was really realistic, given the circumstances. And I engage with him. I kind of feel that if Thomas had been around today, he perhaps would have been a scientist. He wants the facts. And in verse 25, he says, you know, I'm not going to believe it unless I can see it for myself. Actually, apparently the Greek is much stronger than that. It could actually be translated as, I absolutely, positively will not definitely believe. It really was that strong, unless I have proof. But it doesn't imply a lack of faith, does it? He hasn't left. He hasn't gone back to Galilee. He hasn't walked out. He needs that personal encounter with Jesus in order for his faith to move to the next step. And I think, you know, as we look at the reactions of each of the people that day, that's what they all did. Each of them met Jesus in a different way, and it had a different effect on each of them. Let's have a quick look. So first of all, Mary. Mary was active. She was out there. She went to the tomb. When she saw it was empty, she went to get help to find where his body had been taken. She was actively seeking him, even though at first she didn't realize that it was going to be the risen Jesus she would meet, rather than his body. And it reminded me of that as we sung that song, you know, we want to see you, Jesus. We want to see you. That was very much Mary. She wanted to see Jesus. Peter and the other unnamed disciple are kind of semi-active. They go to see, but then when there's nothing there but an empty tomb, they go back to the city and don't seem to do much else. Or are they talking it through, perhaps, wondering, what do we do next? You know, what happens next? What do we do? They don't do very much. The other disciples are even more passive. They don't even seem to have tried to go and find him. They're sat in a locked room, hiding away. And Thomas, he's not there at all. He's out busy doing his own thing. We don't know what. And then wanting proof. And that proof didn't come for another week. And I think, you know, what we see from this is, you know, we look for Jesus in different ways. And Jesus meets us in his time, not ours. But active Mary met him first. We need to remember, don't we, that when people are exploring faith, perhaps for the first time, or when we too are seeking Jesus, perhaps after having known him for many ways, we're going to do that in different ways, and that's okay. Some people will engage more emotionally, some more rationally. I remember, you know, many years ago, there was a young man started coming to the church, which I then attended. I think he was an accountant. I know he was very factual and very rational. And I remember there was this lovely lady there who was giving her testimony, and it was all about knowing the love of God and feeling the love of God in her life, and we all needed to experience it, and all we, you know. And I remember this guy sitting there with this look of absolute confusion on his face. For him, it didn't work. For her, it did. She knew the love of God. For that chap, it didn't compute. He needed to encounter Jesus differently, perhaps more like Thomas. And we need to give people, don't we? We need to give ourselves that space to see God in our own way, to doubt, like Thomas, to question, to explore, to express our skepticism, to ask our questions, to take our time. You know, we heard a great testimony last week of one journey to faith. We, each of us, will have a different journey. So I wonder, who do you identify with at this time in your spiritual journey in terms of seeking those ongoing encounters with Jesus? Are you like Mary? A bit muddled. You want to connect with Jesus, but at the moment you're not quite sure where he is. You're not quite sure how to find him and what to do next. Are you a bit like Peter, being a bit passive? Seeing and believing, but not really doing anything very active at the moment. Maybe that's because you feel guilty about something, or you feel a bit unworthy of meeting him, and that's something you need to deal with. Maybe, like the disciples, you're feeling a bit downcast by it all. Life's been a bit tough. Maybe you're feeling a bit fearful of your circumstances. You're more focused on them than on seeking Jesus. Or maybe you're Thomas. I think thoughtful's the wrong word. I got a bit carried away with the alliteration here, and I couldn't think of another T. But maybe it was testing Thomas. You know, wanting some certainty, wanting Jesus to do something to help belief. Or are you none of those? Are you joyfully waiting and expecting Jesus to show up? In which case, great. But you know what? Jesus didn't criticize any of those approaches. They were all fine as far as he was concerned. He came and met each one of those people and groups. And he'd turn up even when the doors were closed. So I think, you know, let's not be downhearted if we feel we're not meeting Jesus at the moment. Let's keep on. Let's keep on seeking him and expecting to meet him and have confidence that he will indeed turn up. So what happens when people meet Jesus? Well, quite simply, as we saw with each of the people in the story, it gives proof, doesn't it, that he is alive. And it carries on doing that to this day. When we meet with Jesus, we are reassured and we have reconfirmation that he is alive. And so it builds faith. You know, we can encourage people to seek Jesus, can't we? We can talk about him. We can talk about our experiences. But ultimately, we cannot prove his existence. Only Jesus can do that. We cannot argue people or ourselves into belief. Only Jesus can help to do that. Only Jesus can meet people and prove that he has indeed risen. And like Thomas, you know, we need those encounters and those experiences with Jesus to move our faith on to the next step. If we don't feed and water our faith, it will wither and grow weak. We need to keep coming back to seek out that living water so that we can grow and thrive. So, first reason for seeking out Jesus then is it builds faith. Secondly, it helps us develop our relationship. You know, we meet somebody, we get to know them, don't we? And we build that relationship. And I found it really interesting, looking at the whole of chapter 20, that each person in this story refers to Jesus in a different way. When Mary meets him, finally realizes that he's not the gardener, she addresses him as Rabboni. And that means teacher, but it's kind of stronger than teacher. It's kind of super teacher, top teacher. But that's how she is seeing him at that point in her life. The disciples, when they talk to Thomas, say, "We have seen the Lord." And the word they used is the Greek word kurios. And that can mean master, the one in charge, the leader, the boss. It was used in ancient Greece for the head of the household. And that's very much how it's used earlier in the gospel. Jesus, the leader of their group, the master. But with Thomas, when he finally gets that proof that he's been looking for, do you remember from the video what he said? How did he address Jesus? "My Lord and my God." And that word again, kurios, is used. But from that point on in the gospel and elsewhere in the New Testament, that word kurios becomes associated with God himself. It's used by Paul, for instance, when he's translating the word God from Hebrew into Greek. So the disciples' perception and understanding and relationship with Jesus is different, and it's changing. And I'm sure we've all had moments when we know Jesus as our friend, when we experience Jesus as our saviour as he forgives us, when he comes alongside us as our comforter, when he is our teacher and helps us work through something. And I think it's really important that we think of the different ways that we can relate to Jesus and make sure we're balancing them out. That we're not always just thinking of Jesus as my friend. We also have to remember him as Lord and Master and God. So meeting Jesus develops relationships. It also gives a new perspective. You know, Jesus subtly challenged the disciples' perception of the world. They're locked away, fearful of authorities. And it's interesting, in both occasions we have here, when he met the disciples and then when he met them again with Thomas, on both times he said, "Peace be with you. Don't be afraid. Peace." And he challenges their understanding of who the Messiah was and his purpose for coming, which, as we've seen over the last few weeks, they'd been completely clueless. But finally, at long last, they begin to see what it's all about. I've been a bit challenged myself, actually, the last few weeks with my perception of who Jesus is and what he does. I think praying for the Ukraine, I found it really difficult because part of me is thinking, why has it happened in the first place? Why do wars happen? Why don't you intervene, Lord? Why don't you stop this happening? And I think I was just challenged a bit about how do I see Jesus and what he's here for. You know, we're told in the Old Testament, you know, my ways are above your ways. My thinking is not the way that you think. And my expectation of how he should deal with the Ukraine has been challenged. Yes, I still pray. Yes, it's still horrible. But there's something there for me about having faith in Jesus to deal with that in the way that he needs to deal with it. I don't know if that makes sense, but it struck me quite hard as I read this passage that my expectation is not necessarily right. And then finally, he gave them a new way forward. He gave them a mission for the future. He says, "As the Father has sent me, I'm sending you." And then he breathed on them and said, "Receive the Holy Spirit." They can't go out. They can't be sent out if they're cowering in a locked room. They need that peace. They need to get over the fear of all the authorities. And they need the Holy Spirit because Jesus isn't going to be there anymore. And it's the start of a new way. It's the start of engaging with God via the Holy Spirit rather than directly with the person of Jesus. So four ways in which meeting Jesus changed their lives and I think changes ours too. And really it can be kind of summed up in verse 31. John writes that the reason that this is all written down is so that we can believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of God, that by believing we may have life in his name. And that's what it's all about, isn't it? Having that faith and that belief and that relationship and that mission and that purpose in life, to have life in his name. So I want to ask a few questions just to think about for just a couple of minutes. Are you actively seeking Jesus at the moment, do you think? Is that something you do? If not, is there something you could do? Maybe just read your Bible once a day or engage with one of the Bible reading apps. Do you have questions for him at the moment? Something that worries you or troubles you? Or is there something you'd like him to do for you to help strengthen your faith? Or do you maybe have fear or guilt that is keeping the door closed, that you need to hand over to him? I'm going to leave those up for a few minutes just to reflect on. And I think the music group was just going to come and play quietly for us. And then in a couple of minutes' time, I'm just going to put up a short prayer that we can join in together in response to what I've said. Thank you. If you would like anyone to pray about any of this with you, or if you want to talk it over with anyone, I'd really encourage you to do that, because sometimes, you know, particularly if we've got questions or, you know, want some encouragement, doing that with somebody else can be really helpful. I've just got a brief prayer now that I would invite you to join in saying. Don't, if you don't feel it's appropriate, or do speak it quietly in your own heart if you'd rather than out loud. I think particularly though, if you have felt there are things stopping you from actively seeking Jesus, I'd really encourage you to say this prayer. So if you wish to, let's say together. Heavenly Father, you have claimed us as your own children. There are times, however, when sin and sorrow grow, pushing joy to the side. We lose sight of your grace and instead fall into despair. We are consumed by loss, distracted by stuff, and crippled with fear. We are sorry, Lord. Lift our eyes, Lord Jesus, and renew our joy in you. Amen. Thank you.
Thank you. And I just reiterate what Judith said, that if you like to pray with somebody, please find somebody to pray with.
Don't go away and you know, worry about the fact that you can't find somebody. Come to the front or to the back. Find somebody to pray with. Okay. So go into the week. Have a great week and take the Lord with you. Amen.
Amen.